Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on the Voice of America.
Due to the global outbreak of the coronavirus, the Voice of America is taking every necessary precaution to safeguard its employees, so our broadcast will look a little different today and in the near future as we reduce our staffing at VOA headquarters here in Washington. We appreciate your staying with us on Straight Talk Africa.
Hello. You're welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from my home in Arlington, Virginia, a suburb of Washington, D.C. I am Shaka Sali. And today we'll talk about initiatives to improve healthcare in rural Uganda. Joining us are two distinguished guests. Professor Sam Tumwesigyire, the co-founder and Dean of the School of Medicine at Kabale University in southwestern Uganda. He joins us from Kabale. And Professor Arthur Vikangaga, a surgeon and fellow of the American College of Surgeons, who joins us from Austin, the U.S. southern state of Texas. Gentlemen, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you for the first time on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Shaka Sali. It's a pleasure to be your guest.
You're most welcome, sir.
Thank you, Shaka. Thank you for inviting me to this program.
You're most welcome. In some very interesting ways, I would like to say that this, in fact, is a sort of technological reunion that we are about to experience, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Agreed, it is indeed.
Professor Tumwesigyire, you make me sort of walk back in memory lane. I remember those days in the late 60s when we happened to be roommates with, of course, the man that we used to call Prince, Patrick Kabangira, who, of course, has since passed on. May his soul rest in peace. We used to share a room, I remember, in Bikangaga House at Chigezi College, Butovere, a dormitory that was named in honor of a Mr. John Bikangaga, who happens to be Professor Arthur Bikangaga's father and was, in fact, at the time, the constitutional political head of the Chigezi region where the three of us come from.
That's very true, Shaka. I remember those days with the fond memories, and it is true that we were great friends with Patrick Kabangira, who has passed on, as you say. May his soul rest in peace. I'm so glad to be able to go back in time, as it were, and remember the beautiful times and instances we shared back at the great Kigezi College, Butovere. And I think it was a bit of our youth time well spent.
I think I agree with you. It was quite an experience. And as for Arthur Bikangaga, we, of course, used to interact off and on in Uganda. And later, we came to the United States pretty much at the same time, really, in the 1970s. And then we lived together in the U.S. state of California when he was a practicing physician and I was a graduate student at the University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA.
That's correct. You know, those were also fond memories, especially knowing, you know, a person when you are in a new country and you're trying to adapt, you know, having friends from the same area surely does make a big difference. And you did make a big difference, your presence in Los Angeles, my presence in Fresno, which is not too far from Los Angeles, allowed us to interact on a frequent basis, you know, and make it more tolerable and more at home feeling. So I do appreciate your friendship, my dear brother, and it's been a great experience together from Uganda to United States.
Let's have a brief conversation about what you two gentlemen are trying to do for the people of Kabare, especially in the areas of the medical care sector. Professor Tumwesigire, I gather that you are the co-founder and dean of the School of Medicine in Kabale. Very briefly, what triggered the idea of putting in place that most important institution?
Thank you, Shaka. Let me first of all start with a brief history of Kabale University itself. We all know that Kabale district or Kabale city is situated about 400 kilometers southwest of the capital, Kampala, and by all practical purposes, really, is you could describe it as a rural-based locality, and the people of Kigezi, and by this I mean people who live in the current districts of Kabale, Kisoro, Rukunjiri, Kanungu, and Ruchiga, decided through the organization of which Arthur belongs to that tries to bring together all the citizens of Kigezi, did start a community sponsored university, and they called it Kabale University. The objective of this university was to contribute to the training of human resource in the very many areas where there was a need for professional cadres, and also as a contribution to the overall objective of the government of Uganda to contribute to the training of professionals who are able and have the skills to run the economy of this country. So the university started in the year 2002, and they soon realized that there was a big training gap for health professionals, and these were needed to urgently be able to come in and handle the very, very, very obvious health needs of the populations in this area. The need for this was strengthened by the fact that the few health professionals already trained in this country prefer to live and work in urban centers. And as I have already said, the Kabale area being very, very rural, naturally tended, instead of attracting health professionals to live and work there, actually was sort of repelling very many of them. And as a consequence, people with the obvious very many health-related issues were underserved in this regard. So the university authorities decided to start a medical training program or programs, and these started in a very humble way in 2007, and later sort of built up speed where the university authorities commissioned a group of 13 eminent health educators and clinicians, and they called this a task force, which was mandated to plan for the establishment of this medical school. So that is how the idea came, that is how it was created, and this team produced their report in February 2015, and they recommended that, yes, the traditional medical school setup be established, but this training of doctors was deemed not enough, so they added disciplines that were urgently needed, and these included training of graduate nurses, training people in health services management, training people in public health, and so on and so forth.
So let me ask you, Sam, what kind of vision or what kind of mission is the School of Medicine looking at?
Our mission is to be able to create a medical school or an institution where people come in and are trained and given skills and right attitudes, and hopefully the willingness to live and work in rural areas where these services are more needed. And the philosophy behind this is the realization that, as I have already said, the majority of trained health professionals prefer to live and work in urban centers. But you are going to realize, Shaka, that past studies and statistics have shown that about 70% of the health workforce in this country are living and practicing in urban centers, but urban centers are areas where only 20% of the population live. In other words, we have a situation where the majority of trained health workers are practicing where the majority of the citizens of the country are not living or residing. So the mission is to create a trained health workforce of individuals who have the skills but are willing to live and work in these deserving rural populations. And this is the basis, the philosophy behind establishing of this medical school at Kabale.
Professor Bikangaga, first of all, I gather, of course, that you are associated with the School of Medicine at Kabale University, and hence the rank of professor. Given that you live thousands and thousands of miles away, how do you contribute, or how do you come in the training of physicians at that institution?
My story an association with Kabale region, Kigezi region, goes back 5 years ago when we traveled with a professor from University of California, San Francisco, to visit Kabale, Kigezi region, and to visit the lottery clubs, and I'll come to that, and to visit the Ministry of Health. As a surgeon, you would wonder, why am I getting involved in healthcare issues? 1976, I came to the United States to train in maternal and child health, assisted by a professor, Helen Wallace, who was the chairperson of the Department of Public Health at UC Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley. And she had done a survey for World Health Organization of the health needs of Africa, focusing on Uganda, because Uganda then was far ahead in many ways of many African countries. It had an infrastructure. It had a university that was well known, not only in Africa, but across the planet for its research and its discovery of diseases like Burkitt's lymphoma, Kaposi sarcoma, that put the Uganda on the map then. And she published a report of the healthcare needs of Uganda and Africa in general, and then recommended that the training of doctors, of some doctors at least, be directed at promoting this model of healthcare in Uganda, and then demonstrate that that model of healthcare was probably the best way for Africa to develop its health services. Due to political issues, of course, I wasn't able to go back and participate in this endeavor after completing my education. Mm-hmm. I went into surgery and became a surgeon and practiced surgery, but always had my primary goal, which is what I came here to do, came to United States to do, which was to train in how can we contribute to development of healthcare services in Africa. Naturally, my focus then was on Uganda. And we surveyed, we met with some. They didn't have a university then, but they had a regional hospital that, you know, he was, you know, the superintendent of, or at least higher up in the organization of. We talked to him, we talked to the Lottery International, because all these programs need funding, and our funding was targeted on the lottery clubs, local lottery clubs, to raise funds, you know, to affect that kind of mission. We met with the Ugandan government officials, Dr. Ruhakana Rugunda, the Honorable Prime Minister, had been a graduate of the same college, of the same school that I had been to in maternal and child health. So we spoke the same language. With him and the Minister of Health, the targeted area, not because of my origin from Kigezi, but the targeted area was Kigezi because of the unique health challenges Kigezi has. The mountainous setting, the the difficult access of the local community to healthcare facilities, the lack of trained healthcare professionals and professionals willing to stay the course and help the region. So these challenges, we after discussing them extensively with the Prime Minister and then the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Health, we formed a strategy. The strategy was to focus on one district in Kigezi and attend to the health centers and see whether we could adapt those health centers to truly serve the community and not to be there as medical centers. There's always been a confusion, and the professor knows this, about healthcare and medical care. Medical care is treating the ill, the sick. If you have malaria, you come to the healthcare center and we give you an injection or tablets and you go home and you get better, but then you get sick again with malaria and you keep coming back because we have not addressed the cause of why you got sick in the first place. So considering and agreeing with the Prime Minister of Uganda that we had already gone through the experiment of what can change the healthcare of a community by the Kasangati experiment. And I'll talk a little bit about the Kasangati experiment because I think it's important for people in Uganda, Kigezi, Uganda, Africa in general, to know that we had already performed an experiment at what it affects our health communities the best. This wasn't to copy the healthcare in the West, Western countries, or the Eastern countries for that matter. This was an experiment to see what would serve the African experience, the African setup, the African culture. What would affect the healthcare so that our mothers survive just as well as they survive in Sweden, so that our children survive just as well as they survive in Sweden. I choose Sweden because it has the best numbers on the planet as far as survival is concerned. So the experiment in Kasangati was based on having a defined population that a health center serves and equip that health center with healthcare workers that made sense. You know, midwives, because that's where the majority of problems were and the losses were through problems with pregnancy. Equip it with pediatric, you know, trained nurses that know how to treat children, not only in the hospital, but how to talk to children in terms and the mothers in terms of those issues that predispose them to those diseases. So obviously, health education was a big component of the program. The other big component was maternal health, child health, MCH, maternal child health. The last component was the environmental control. How do you go out there and make sure that what you teach in the health center is followed by your clients or your stakeholders? So the outreach, the social outreach program was a big component. And it was called psychosocial because it also needed to address some of these psych issues where most of there was lacking care. If you were born a crazy, quote unquote, by the community, you are labeled crazy. There was no care for you. You know, you were out there walking, as you recall, in your childhood, and my childhood, and Sam's childhood. The mental health was not given a priority. So these health care centers were fashioned to address these problems at community level. And then the ideas, of course, fell apart because of the political, you know, as you know, the political, you know, issues that we underwent, and the programs kind of died. And so, in my opinion, it was an opportunity for me to partner with Kabale and, you know, progressive, you know, doctors like Professor Sam Tumwesigyire, who also were trained by the same people like I had been trained, to partner with them and see whether we could establish this model for a district in Kigezi, or a small sub-district or whatever it's called Bufundi. And Bufundi's main health center was Muko, thus the Muko project. And, you know, we can talk a little bit more about that.
We'll get to that later.
Yes.
Now, Professor Tumwesigyire, you two are proud graduates of Makerere University Medical School, which in the 1960s and a part of the 1970s was a world-class institution. When you think about the institution that you founded in Kabale, how do you rate its quality? Because there are some critics who have been saying that what has happened in Uganda recently is about looking at institutions in terms of quantity as opposed to focusing on the quality of the doctors, the physicians, the nurses that are trained. How do you react to that?
thank you, Shaka. I agree the kind of opportunities and training that was present in the late 1960s when I joined Makerere, and the circumstances that face people who are trainees and trainers in the current situations may differ. But I'm glad to say that beginning with the task force that I described to you, who planned the establishment, actually also participated in the writing of the academic programs that we are going to be taught at Kabale. But first of all, I want to explain that before a program is started, is opened for students, goes through a rigorous process. And this process starts with people or departments writing curricula in draft forms, which go through the necessary quality assurance steps and mechanisms. But these have got to be scrutinized by the National Council of Higher Education, which is the central body appointed by government to ensure that what is taught in the country in general and is of good quality and answers to the overall objectives that are stated by the people who write these programs. I'm happy to say that all the two diploma level programs, this is diploma in anesthesia and diploma in health services management, plus the three undergraduate programs, this is bachelor's of nursing science, bachelor of environmental health science, I can't remember very quickly the third one, plus the two postgraduate training programs I mentioned have all been cleared and accredited by this National Council of Higher Education.